Watching the Monkey.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to another episode of, what is this? The Art of Being with the Act Matrix.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we haven't changed it. Still the same.
No, we haven't changed it since last week, which is good. We have a logo and everything.
Yeah.
We're being silly, which is our usual state of affairs. We have Jasmine on, and she's going to be telling us about the Matrix, not only going to college, all the way to graduate school,
yes,
which we're impressed with.
Yes.
But first, Bill wants to tell a word from our sponsor.
Yes, our favorite sponsor, which is us. We sponsor ourselves because we got nobody else to sponsor us, folks. If you know somebody wants us, but fine, but we're gonna do us. So
yeah, Bill Gates or somebody wants to come in and sponsor
us,
some
deep pockets. But we're not gonna hold our breath on that.
No, we're not.
We're gonna continue to do it our way. So our way is we are able to produce this podcast through our ACT Matrix certification program. And what that is that we're looking to build a community of like-minded folks who are really into doing generous work and having collaborative conversations with those they serve, like the people in Jasmine's classes, probably. So now certification in the ACT Matrix would give you just a few things, I think, that might be important to you. First thing is it gives you some credibility because it's going to say that you're a competent, trustworthy source to others. You get some authority because you're going to demonstrate you have some expertise you can share. And really just the pride that would come in generously sharing work with others and the gratitude that comes from the individuals in the groups that experience them. Right, Kevin?
Yes.
Yeah. And all you got to do to get started is simply go to the ACT Matrix Academy, or there's a link somewhere here that you can click on.
Or you can type that. You can Google it.
Type it in. Yep. Right, and you can get started right away. We have another class coming up in a couple of weeks. This is March right now.
I mean, you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait for the class.
No, you can sign up right away. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
and then
there's books out there. There's all kinds of stuff about learning how to do the Matrix.
Yeah, right.
The only trick to what we do is certification is we have to listen to you present.
Right.
And so we teach you how the ins and outs of that during the certification classes. But we'll teach you a little bit about the Matrix too. We're learning stuff about it all the time.
All the time. We're going to learn some more from Jasmine here today.
Jasmine's going to teach us some stuff about it right now. the training's free.
Yeah, training's free.
And it's free on purpose, folks, because it goes around the world and there's places where people just can't pay for it.
Yeah,
you know, they couldn't pay for training, so we don't want the training to be limited. But well, with that said, we've certified people for nothing too in places in the world where
they don't have the resources.
They just don't. So we're entirely too nice and too generous, and oh, what the heck!
And we'll like it that way. Doing it.
we'll just suffer through that. We'll be okay with it. So, go to the ACT Matrix Academy and sign up and get certified. It's fun. Now, Jasmine is going to take us to graduate school, which Bill and I have been absent for a few
years. Yeah, I haven't been around there for a while.
I'm not going back either.
Nope.
Unless they just want me to come back and visit and give a lecture or something.
Yeah.
Be bought back. But other than that, no.
Yeah.
So Jasmine, where are you from? First, you got to tell us where you're from.
So I am from the University of Missouri in Kansas City. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. So pretty.
I've been there sometime way back in my history. I went to school in Oklahoma. So, Oklahoma, next door to Missouri, right?
Yeah, and then I got my master's at the University of Memphis. So I've been there too.
Good Lord.
Memphis is a good one, though. Not that UMKC isn't great, but Memphis, that's where my family is.
Yeah.
I did a presentation right at there.
Mm-hmm.
But, or at least right next door to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. Well, neat. Okay. So. And so, but right now you're at the University of Missouri, Kansas City.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Got it. Wrapping up ish. I'm about to go on internship soon. So.
Okay. Oh, where are you going to internship?
I'm staying local mostly. I'm going to the Leavenworth VA, which is where Dr. Guzman is.
Well, that's where we heard about Jasmine.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's not very far.
Mm-mm.
No. Well, but that's nice.
Yeah, it works out.
Okay. And you took the Matrix to college.
I did.
Wow. And she started to tell us about it because we were really amazed. She was talking about a statistics class. I got it. I wanted to say, what is it? They say statistics.
Some of them might say that.
That's how I remembered it. I remembered it that way.
Yeah.
So I had to get it right.
That's kind of where it started. I just was noticing that people were so anxious and worried. It's like, I'm going to fail this. It's going to be the worst. And I'm like, well, I mean, maybe not.
All right.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Now these were, you said, for first year students.
Yes. First year students. I've used it a little bit with undergrads, but mostly I interact with graduate students.
Gotcha. Oh, wow. So for those on the podcast not familiar with something called a first year student,
mm-hmm.
after you complete your undergraduate training, or whatever, and you apply and then get accepted into some graduate program, as you come marching in the door, you're right back to square zero one. You're now a first year student. And you're literally called a first year student.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what you were teaching.
Yes. So they were, a lot of them fresh out of undergrad, had taken a break and were coming back. Mm-hmm. First thing that we introduced them to is statistics. Ugh. And
that is
how exciting.
And so they didn't, not very few of them were ready and excited and thinking that they were going to do fine. Mm-hmm. So it was also my first time teaching a graduate level anything. And so I didn't get a lot of guidance. The faculty member who was running the statistics class was like, you know, this is yours. You do this. I have faith in you. And so that also for me was a lot. And
well, you must have shown some ability to do statistics.
I was
like, you passed the class.
Who thought that I could do statistics?
Well, yeah, and you passed a class beforehand.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I had some aptitude to
some level of expertise.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So here you are, statistics, mm-hmm. and to the first year students, you're a brainiac statistics person.
Yes, I just, for me, it was really surprising, but the two, like myself and then together, there was just a lot of anxiety in the room. And I, you know, had spent time at Leavenworth training under Dr. Guzman. And I just wanted them and myself to take a deep breath and to very concretely do that. I ended up just one day throwing the matrix up on the board.
Now, where did you learn a matrix from Dr. Guzman?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so I had seen
it. Threw the matrix up on us. This is great, Phil.
Yeah, I'm.
We didn't know this. We did ever. Not know.
This may be the first time that's ever happened in the history of graduate school.
That is just a hoot.
It worked because I found it to be really effective with my veterans who were very concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted us to be more concrete because we were really cerebral and thinking all these things, and I'm like, let's bring it back down. Like, why are we here?
Yeah.
Good like, question. Oh, why are we here?
Right. Damn, you ask good questions, John.
And I'm like, you know, what's important to you? Like, why are we sitting here in the statistics class? I'm teaching you. You're being taught by me. There's something valuable in that. So let's think about it. And what is that? You know, and I got a lot of really good answers. You know, most of them valued education, which made sense.
That makes sense. Right.
Yep.
If they didn't, there are a lot of people who are ambitious, wanted to, you know, be in the helping profession, mm-hmm. make something of themselves. And statistics was Part of the journey.
Yeah, part of the
journey. Let me put it, a necessary evil.
Yeah.
I like part of the journey better. That sounds a little more doable.
Yeah, I like statistics. I was hopeful that...
And Harry Potter statistics was Voldemort.
Yeah. Right.
It can be very fruitful. I like statistics.
Well, of course, well, but helps. I mean, for these... Back to it. These are first-year students. They're anxious anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like, oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Oh, and I guess people just don't know this in these psych programs. Statistics is known as one of the courses that can end your graduate career.
Yeah.
Right. if you can't make a C.
Yeah,
you can make a B, but you can't make a C in statistic. It will end your graduate career.
You need to go do something else then.
Right. Yeah. And that's where part of the anxiety comes from.
Yes. And a lot of them hadn't taken a statistics class either in a really long time, mm-hmm. or it was very basic. And so they were worried.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they had lots of fear of failure. So there was a lot of wanting to opt out, lots of, you know, avoidance behavior.
Okay, so you threw the matrix up there, and in the lower right-hand corner, you're talking about, hey, what's important to us? Who's important to us?
You know, yep.
Why are we here? And then it's like, we may have noticed some yucky stuff showing up in the lower left-hand quadrant.
Mm-hmm. And they were receptive to that.
So they were noticing some yucky stuff.
They were noticing some yucky stuff a lot. Yes. Like, I don't want to feel like I am going to throw up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, yucky stuff all the way to feeling like you want to throw up. Now, that's yucky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
Yep.
You know, Phil and Jasmine, really, I haven't thought of it that way. Really, I haven't. When I think of yucky stuff, you think of the garden variety anxiety and nervousness and this and that. But that's real. Sometimes you're so
visceral level.
Yeah,
it's very physical.
Right,
you're really good. People that perform on stage, they'll talk about that feeling like they got to heave before they go on. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Visceral.
Wow. Yeah.
Or after, there were some people who, like, I felt so much stuff coming in because you do all this work to get in,
right,
and you're finally sitting in the seat, and it's like, you know, I have all this to prove.
So people know, these programs are hard to get in. A lot of work to get in, and they're very hard, very. This is crazy how hard they are to get in. And now you're sitting there and you're in that course and you've already heard the stories about people who bombed out
mm-hmm.
because of the statistics, right? Because that's like the first story they tell you.
Yep.
Because people are sadistic.
Fortunately, we're a very nurturing program. And so I was doing a lot to alleviate concerns. Almost no one fails this course. We will do absolutely everything we can to get
another backing up off the ledge, right?
But what part of what they noticed showing up was anxiety to the extent of
nausea.
Nausea. Wow.
That's pretty powerful stuff.
And what do you do to get away from nausea?
Graduate school is known for a lot of alcohol.
Oh,
I'm amazed.
They didn't mention alcohol, but I... Because it happens a lot of
times. It happens, huh?
Oh, yeah.
It's uppers with Monster energy drinks. We're just trying to stay
away. All that stuff.
Oh, that's new stuff. Phil and I didn't have the Monster energy drink.
Oh, yeah. I had two interns in my doing school, teaching school site there with me, and they every day they started with a Monster drink, and they ended with a Monster drink because they were going where? Off to their graduate intern class.
Wow. Yeah.
So,
my only Monster energy drink was called coffee.
That wasn't enough.
Yeah, well, I did about 15 cups a day back then, so I don't know. I drove.
We don't have time for drinking multiple times a day. We need to hit it really quick.
Energy.
Not familiar, but okay. So they were doing that.
So monster to rev up, alcohol to calm down, right?
A lot of sleeping to avoid the stress.
Oh yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah.
This is upper left quadrant stuff, folks.
Yes. But, yeah.
So the picture here, the movie scene here, is Jasmine up at the front of the room. These anxious first year students sitting in front of her. She's got the matrix up. They've discussed who and what's important to them and why they're here and all that good stuff. Now they're talking about anxiety and nausea and all this other stuff showing up. And now they're talking about drinking energy drinks and alcohol and sleeping as a way moves to get away from the yucky feelings. All right.
And overachievement, I think, is really central. Like, to not
where did that go in the matrix?
Yeah, to not feel like a failure. It's like, okay, what else can I be doing? I need to be doing more to the point of burning out.
Where did it go? Where did they put it in the lower left or lower right?
I put that one up in the upper left because it's not necessarily what you're doing, but why you're doing it, and why they were doing it was to avoid feeling like a failure. I don't want to feel this. It's not necessarily in pursuit of my value of education in this moment.
No.
I'm not there right now.
Gotcha. Okay, so overachieving as an away move. This probably no one else out of academia will understand that whatsoever. Ha! I'm lying.
I'm at 12 publications.
Yeah.
Not because I was pursuing education, but it's like, what if I'm not good enough to get into internship? So let me just add one more thing, into the point where I had burned the candle at both ends and set the candle on fire.
So you did that yourself?
Yes. And so self-disclosure.
Well, you know, when you do the matrix, you model that stance yourself, right?
Yeah.
Good for you.
There was a lot of giggling, a lot of relating, because even the process of getting into graduate school, they were doing the same thing. Like, you know, research is great, but I don't know that I would throw myself into it. Mm-hmm. But if I do enough of it, I'll get into graduate school. So I will get it.
That's how I got into graduate school.
I feel like I'm going to fail if I don't.
Right. I did the same thing. Research was my ticket in. Yep. Wow.
And it's rewarded, which makes it even easier to indulge in that. So it's like, you've done this? That's really great. You should keep doing it.
Like, just keep going.
So all of this takes away time.
Yes. You're sacrificing your time and energy that you could be doing things related to your actual values, trying to pursue other people's goals for you.
So they saw that, so they could see that.
They did. And so when they thought about what was important to them, they had to sort of recenter themselves in the fact that friends were important and family is important. And there were all these things that they were letting go of solely pursuing education and avoiding sensing that they were failing.
A lot of time not over doing on enough. The left-hand side, right?
I'm sorry?
A lot of time over on the left-hand side.
A lot of time over there. And I can relate. Like, it's really, really easy to just go on autopilot.
What you have to do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you get so tired and overwhelmed, and you're just trying to keep your head above water that you forget to think about what's in that lower right-hand corner. So, yeah.
You do. It's easy to forget that. It's awfully easy to forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we get that even outside of your thing. Mm-hmm. When you come into some audience anywhere, and Phil and I will oftentimes start with who's important to you, because it's a good start for us. And people will go, wow, I don't think anybody has ever asked me that before.
Mm-hmm.
What a question.
Yeah.
You know, but there's an answer. They know there's an answer. It's just
they do.
They haven't contemplated the question. So then it's like, okay, starting from there, now let's look at the rest of this stuff. But in your realm, now you're back to, well, how can we fit some of that back into statistics class?
I was making it less about statistics. Like, statistics will come and you will be fine. You cannot pour yourself into this completely. And if you don't make it much bigger than it actually is, because I knew them. I knew that they were going to completely immerse themselves in all things psychology, including statistics.
Well, yeah.
And by the time they hit third and fourth year, they would be exhausted.
Crispy.
Yeah. Wow.
And you So
part of it, your thing to be being kind and, well, kind, was that, okay, folks, fact is, you're not going to have to pour your heart and soul into this statistics course to pass this course.
No.
That's not required.
No.
However, given that you're already hitting overachieve, like, you know, being in that bell,
boom, boom.
Ding, ding,
no, you'll
ding,
be ding. Fine.
You're gonna hit this with overachieve.
Yes. Like, let me turn down the emphasis on this a little bit. Because I know every single one of the people in there.
Yeah.
They would be fine. Yeah. And they were. All of them passed.
Right, yeah.
It's gonna be okay.
Mm-hmm.
It will be, right, yeah. Almost. Yes. I've never really heard of anybody not making it through the first year stat stuff. It's when that the research design stuff hits in. I've seen that nail somebody.
But. Yeah, some people visited me for that too. They're like, okay, I'm in this class now. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of talk me through it? Because I had become sort of this person who was known as, okay, Jasmine is going to bring us back down from this really high peak.
This is cool. Now, just out of curiosity, did any of these people take up using the matrix outside of their statistics class?
You know, I never asked them, lot of us are very act-oriented, and so I imagine that many people have used the matrix. It's a really, for me, whenever we get really heady and we're so kind of floaty with all these different kinds of thoughts, I'm like, let's recalibrate, and that is recalibrating.
All right, who's important to you?
Lofty goals.
All right. Yeah. Well,
so,
the huge recal, or a couple of them, really.
Mm-hmm.
Just to say, is one to ask somebody, well, who's important to you?
Yeah.
Which relates to, why are you doing all this stuff? That's me. And the other one is to reach up there to the five senses and say, let's take a moment and pay attention to our five senses experience. You know, what the heck?
I know. Yeah. We're so not there.
We're so not in our five senses.
Let's just give her a shot and see what happens here.
People go, oh, wow, I forgot that stuff was there.
All right. Oh, God.
I forgot I was here.
Definitely makes a difference.
Once again, they call it grounding, you know, oftentimes. Yeah. But it's very simple things that you can do with people and then get them back, you know, into. Well, and your thing would be, okay, really, let's not get any further in statistics than the page that we're on. Let's just stay right there.
Yeah.
Because I am just damn sure you can learn this page of statistics.
Yes.
You know, that's just really, this is not outside your reach.
Yep. And so I spent a lot of time just sort of bringing this back down. It's like, okay, so what did you hear when you were in the class? Because it's a 3-hour class. You get
kind of
details. And I'm like, okay, big picture. What was it? And they would just sort of sit there, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to make it big picture again so you guys stop feeling quite so lost.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, I would talk about this idea that we as we're panicking and feeling a lot of anxiety, we're not necessarily staying present in the moment with the professor. We're like, okay, how do I use this? And he's talking about this project that's due, and how do I integrate this all? And like, all that will come. I will walk you through every single step.
Well, and that's just it. You need to go through each step. Mm-hmm. What you tend to do is jump ahead to the project writ large. Oh my God. It's so huge.
But I knew that because I did the same thing. I don't know.
Yeah, you've been there and done that. Right. Yeah.
So this could be, but what you're talking about could be used in lots of different situations.
I use it a lot.
Well, I'll go back. Well, person that we had early on in the podcast that was working with a Major League Baseball team. Mm-hmm. And they would bring in, okay, the first years. This is called the first year class. Yeah. and the way he described them is they come in from the first year and they are the best baseball player that ever came from their hometown, period. Mm-hmm. And they show up and they're no longer the best baseball player.
I got to share that spotlight with all the other players.
Yeah, they are in amongst a bunch of really good baseball players.
Yeah.
And that's overwhelming. It's the same thing. It's that overwhelming experience. Mm-hmm. And so here he is, basically takes out the matrix and like, oh, okay. He's just like Jasmine. Why are we here?
they'll feel like they need to compete. It's like, you know, what'd you get on the test and what did I get on the test? Yeah. Like,
you're not competing. The judging part, the sneaky judging, or not so sneaky at that point.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's not so sneaky.
Yeah, it's supposed to be
right out there, right? And so to reground yourself and get your head back around, and that this is a one day at a time endeavor.
Yeah,
it's not your whole life.
Yeah, and it's hard to do it that way though, because you have so many different things all happening at the same time, and lots of deadlines, lots of goals. And a lot of competing interests. You know, they are prepping to start learning how to be therapists. They're learning how to be researchers. They're learning how to be students in graduate school. And it's a lot to ask somebody to be able to sit with all those things at one time and kind of marinate in the yuckiness of it.
That's a wonderful poetic term, marinate in the yuckiness of it.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean... My first inclination, it's like, okay, I feel overwhelmed and insecure. Yep. Mm-hmm. What's a thing I can do to make myself feel better? Well, I'll, you know, start working on another paper. I'll start another project. I will.
This feels wonderful. I feel better already, Jen. Yeah,
really, just having you say that.
Just having you say those words makes me feel better already. Phil and I come from that world. We know exactly what you mean.
Retreat back into the safety of what you know to do.
Right. We're going to run and go. We're going to go do some new project, some new thing.
On top of the other project.
Finishing an old one, but starting a new one that doesn't make me feel insecure.
Yeah, that's the best thing to do.
Definitely works until it doesn't.
This is a really good point. And what she's saying is like, hold on, time out. Let's just sit and marinate in these yucky feelings. Yep. Mm-hmm. They're not going to kill us in the next few seconds here.
No. I've been fortunate that as I am more mindful, I'm like, why am I about to start this new thing? Is it because I actually want to, and I will further my career in a practical way, or to avoid feeling what I'm feeling right now, which is inadequate.
Right. And that's the question. Is this workable for, you know, who and what's important to me, for why I'm here? Is this workable for that? Or is it just another wild ass away move?
Marinate less.
Marinating less.
That's probably not going to do anything for my career. And it's going to take time away from what I ought to be spending time on.
Yeah.
So that's, and in the alcoholics and heroin addict world, they would call it the pause. Yeah. Hit yep. pause. Mm-hmm. And so that's with Kevin saying, at least graduate students, they may also drink and stuff. I'm not saying they don't drink, but another mm-hmm. thing they do is just go do more work.
Yeah. Like, okay, right. I'm going to drink a little bit of wine to be able to write this paper.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Let's combine them. Oh yeah. That's the best.
And, and so you hit pause and then they basically come back to the workability question. Is this really going to work to get me where I need to go?
I know.
I mean, there are some things that really need to be done. Absolutely. To matriculate through your graduate career. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of things that don't need to be done.
Yeah. I did a lot of things that I didn't need to do to feel like I was going to succeed and be okay. Yep. But ended up pulling me away from the people that were important to me.
Well, and that's it, because now
that's the cost.
You've lost your connections to your important people.
Right? Yeah.
You know, it took about fourth year, which I'm in now, for me to reassess how to be okay again and to reinfuse these important things in my life. You know, education had taken over everything. You know, I was reading about psychology. I was, you know, watching shows about psychology. Mm-hmm. Like, I just sort of was immersed in that world and didn't feel comfortable doing anything else because what if I don't match it, my next internship site, my first one? Or what if I, you know, don't get a job after this? Maybe if I achieve one more thing, it's right. one more.
I got to keep my edge up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can't know that. And you know, going on internship interviews, I noticed that all the publications I had done actually hurt me a little bit because they're like, well, do you want to be a researcher? And I was
believe it or not, Jasmine, mm-hmm. I used to be in the job of reviewing internship applications. I've reviewed hundreds of them. Mm-hmm. When you said all of those publications, and you're sitting inside of a clinical program, there's the question. Am I really looking at somebody who wants to go into research academe? All right.
Yeah, and I didn't.
You didn't. But
was like, well, another publication will look good. Yeah, and it didn't.
Yeah. Rats.
No. However, you survived it.
I survived it, and I'm here on the other side.
And now you're more grounded and more mindful and all that good stuff. And you will go through. And folks, we're not dissing on folks that are immersed in something.
There's a time and a place for
that. There's a time and a place for being immersed in things.
Right.
Right.
But graduate school, it's a really long time to only be immersed in that one thing.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
That is.
Or even undergrad. A lot of students they'll come to my office hours and they're just frantic because, you know, they're getting a B in one of their classes if they got a B on one of the exams. And I haven't broken out the matrix yet for one of them, but they're so worried about what comes next. And sometimes, I talk about the fact that, you know, maybe what your mind is telling you is true, that you won't get into graduate school, but maybe it isn't. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're doing just enough to be fine, and this B will not completely sabotage your life as they are kind of processing it. That.
Boy, that's rough.
Yep.
That's really.
Because it is so competitive. You know, I get a lot of students who are terrified.
Yeah.
And, you know,
We know. Phil and I talk about this.
We talk about it. I'm so worried.
Well, and it's there's a philosopher named Alan Watts. You can go read on him. And some of the things he said were quite astute. And part of it was basically you go to kindergarten or first grade and you're told someday you will be worth something.
Mm-hmm.
Someday out in the future, after you have learned many things and gotten diplomas and degrees, then You will be worth something.
We'll be a somebody.
And that kind of language is killer on us. Yeah. Really? No, you're worth something right now.
Right now. Really, yeah. Hard. I got to get to there. What am I? What am
you're
I
a
now?
Human being. You're cool. Yeah. You're great.
Jazz, you thought you took. You're doing the doing. And you're not doing the being. You're just doing.
Yeah. Right, right.
And, like, and, you know, yeah. Why do you want to go to graduate school? Yeah. And they're like, because it's next.
Yeah, right.
because when I finish, there will be an epiphany.
Yeah.
You know, trumpets will soar and all this stuff. And I will be there.
Mm-hmm. Somebody tell me that they wanted to go to graduate school because they wanted to have doctor in front of their name. And,
oh, there you go.
Whoa, ho. There you go.
It's a lot of work for a very small amount of somebody calling you a doctor.
I know. But once again, they've conflated the title with that you're something, that you've
that
made
you're
it.
Something. You're already something.
So his message long ago was quite astute, that we put people on a treadmill, kids on a treadmill. And it's always that, you know, well, you're not worth anything now, but don't worry about it. If you study really hard and make all A's, you'll be worth something out there in the future.
Yeah. I mean, it's natural. Like, as soon as I matched, I was like, okay, I need to start thinking about postdoc. Like,
right.
And so I had to get back. I'm like, okay, no, I'm going to enjoy this moment. It's good. I can sit in the uncertainty of what happens next later.
Marinate uncertainty.
Marinate. I like this term, marinate. We try to steal whatever we possibly
can.
Yeah,
good stuff. I like that too.
Right. That marinate word is a great word. It's better than acceptance.
Yeah,
people get confused with acceptance a lot.
But I think most people could relate to marinate.
Good,
you know, you're the steak sitting there in the refrigerator, marinating.
Exactly where my head goes.
All the things. Good.
Yeah. Oh, I know how this is, right? And all right, you're marinating in it, and it's okay.
It's okay.
That's the thing is, it's okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You could sit there. You could marinate in it for a while. Yeah. It's okay.
And even being somebody really act focused and loving the matrix, like, mm-hmm. again, like, natural reaction was like, I need to plan for the next thing so I don't mess it up. Like,
let go.
It just is.
Yeah, but it's been instilled into all of us for since we were very young. And it's not changing any. Well, this is so cool. So this is really the Matrix goes to graduate school.
Yes.
Yeah.
We can even call it. Say now we're now. I've just switched gears into name the podcast. So this is like the Matrix goes to a graduate school statistics class.
Yes.
I'm serious. That'd be cool. Do you like that one?
I do. I think that it makes a lot of sense because lot of students can relate to being afraid of their math classes.
Oh, yeah. No, exactly. Right. And even lots of people can relate to that.
You know, they probably have to listen to the podcast first, but we could even go with the Matrix marinates in statistics class.
I like that.
I could do that as a subtitle.
Yeah, underneath. Yeah. Because that is such a cool word, Jeff. You have given us a new word. One of the great joys of doing this podcast is we pick up so much cool stuff from people like yourself. That is such
thank you. Well, I definitely appreciate it because I do have a pretty flowery language, lots of reading before I went to grad school, and now I can read fiction again.
Yes. Regular human being stuff.
I know. Just read more Carl Rogers.
I do want to. You want to hear some graduate school? You want to hear graduate stuff? This is cool. I'll read you something.
Yeah.
That should bring your anxiety level nice and up.
Yay.
Yeah, I just love it. Progress toward a natural science of behavior has been delayed by a number of difficulties. The first of these, the attribution of causal status to non-material entities, has been overcome by the exclusion of hypothetical, non-natural elements and their powers from the events making up the subject matter of a science of behavior.
So I got lost in that.
Hell. I'm an expert in this, and I know what it says now, but my God, talk about getting lost in words. What it means, folks out there on the podcast listening, and it's really hard to take a non-physical science, like inside the mind, and make it physical. That's what they're talking about. See, there's Kevin simplifying things. That's what I do. I read really hard things and then I turn them into English. And really so many people, I'm not saying they don't need to write stuff like that. That's fine.
You know, right. It's technical books,
it's fine. But for so many people, you need to translate it down to a very simple, usable, as you say, concrete. Let's bring this down let's bring this down to concrete, folks. Why are we here? You're sitting here. I'm here. Something brought us here. Why? You know, this wasn't random chance that brought us here. Oh, that's statistics, isn't it? No. This is some kind of causal events here. What got us here? And let's start looking at it. And then start looking at the yuckies and all of that
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then finally, like, okay, end of the day here, you can do this. And it's not going to take you all the live long day, every day, to pull this off. This is something that's very manageable. That you can place within your schedule of all the other very important things that you need to do.
So, yeah.
That was the message from that. So now we have the matrix goes to a graduate school statistics class. Now, what was Phil's thing?
I had said the matrix was marinating in statistics class.
Or the matrix marinating. For that, I'll call it a stat class.
Yeah. Change it up. Can't keep
calling it statistics.
That statistics too many
times. Oh, stats, right? Yeah. Stats. Hey, I got to go to stats class.
Matrix goes to stats. Let's marinate.
Don't marinate stats. Imagine if they all walked in like that. We're marinating in stats today.
I think they'd be sad. Yeah, still working on them. Like even as they kind of have dispersed and they're in other classes, I'll help them with statistics, and they'll make it so much bigger than it is. And I'm like, no, all you're doing is you're gonna make the scale, and the scale you're just trying to pull out some of the items in it. And they're like, so I don't need to do all these principal components. And no, not right now. You're good.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. They're getting
talking
good for you. Good for you. You have they need people like you.
They do.
Most definitely. Well, that's too bad because academia is not my calling.
Well, they only have you for a limited amount of time. And
yeah. But they can shoot me an email. Yeah.
They come shoot talk to you email. Anytime they want, right?
But you're headed for the clinical world, huh?
Yes. All right. I mean, I like academic medical centers. I think that would be a good.
Well, yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. We might do that. Yeah.
That's more my speed.
There you go.
Well, good for you. Well, maybe we'll run across your path someday.
Yeah.
But not in academia. Phil and I aren't going near. We're out on the streets.
Yeah, we're.
You're doing stuff.
Yeah. No, we're out on the streets, man. We do. No, but this has been fun. This has really been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. It has been fun. This is my first podcast. I figured, you know, let me do this really scary thing that I am terrified to do.
Good. Because we know that a lot of times we get somebody that they say, yeah, well, I'll do the podcast. And then we never hear from them.
Oh, yeah. They'll even sign up to do it.
Right. And we know what something showed up. than the lower left hand quadrant.
Because then it's Kevin and I looking at each other going,
they'd be gone. Because they're afraid. And that's part of our thing is to make it this light. And it really is this way all the time.
If we
for a moment noticed that somebody was being uncomfortable, we would shift it. We just don't want it to be that way. There's plenty of yucky stuff in life. We don't need to be part of it.
Add to it.
No, we don't need to add to it. So no, this is wonderful. So I mean, you're going to be around Dr. Guzman, right? It's Amber, right? Amber Guzman.
Yep. I don't call her that, but that is.
I'd call her that all day long.
Yes, I'm like, I will be.
Because I got the magic PhD behind my name.
You do. I have another year, and then maybe I'll be able to shift.
And I've said it probably before. There is no rhyme to reason, folks, that I ever got a PhD. I never liked school. I never liked school. I don't know how in the hell I ended up getting a PhD. It's just sort of amazing. And then as soon as I got it, and then I went through clinical, and then I just start translating stuff. I use my PhD stuff to translate it into street language. So
useful to people who are not in clinical.
Yep. So I'm sort of a street urchin with a PhD.
I think that it's a good way to be.
Hey, Jasmine, just another the Matrix book, one of the Essential Guide just got translated into German.
Oh, awesome.
So if you know anybody who speaks German.
I do.
But they can be an overachiever and read the Matrix. Yeah. And we have the Matrix in Japanese now. Mm-hmm. So we're getting around. We're having
fun. You're getting there. I like it.
We're getting it out on the streets everywhere.
Mm-hmm. People need it.
Oh, yeah.
They do.
Just walk around and say, I teach psychological flexibility. And they go, oh, whoa, no. How does that start? I was like, well, it starts with who's important to you. Oh, really? Oh,
okay.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. I mean, I use it a lot more in my clinical world. Like, I break out the Matrix all the time. It's just like, okay.
But you say that. When you started talking about students coming to you, we have interviewed somebody in a counseling college, student counseling program.
Yes.
Somewhere along the way. So it is used in academic counseling.
Yeah, it was
absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, I use it. I've used it with veterans. I use it in primary care where I only have a little bit of time with somebody. I might only meet with them for like 15 or 20 minutes.
Perfect. So exactly. Like, yeah.
Let's
perfect.
Get this yeah. really quick and dirty. Like, let's jump in.
Oh, yeah, that's important. We love doing that, man. Guy, a social worker by the name of Mark Kamen, K-M-E-N, I worked with at the VA, and he and I had a blast developing a primary care matrix.
Yes.
We even had a medical doctor do it on exam table paper. It was great.
It really recalibrates people. It's like, okay, well, you showed up to your doctor's appointment. Something's important to you.
And then, ta-da! Right. Yeah. Exactly. You're here. Yay.
Because, I mean, I've wanted to miss many doctor's appointments, and it was my health. It was my family.
I pretty well want to miss all of them.
Yeah.
I'm getting old enough that every time I go, they find something wrong. Yeah. Like, I mean, talk about, think about it, Jasmine, and I know you're so young, you can't even imagine it, but there'll be a time in your life, you'll go to them and it's like, crap, I don't want to go. They'll tell me there's something else wrong with me.
Just going to give me more bad news.
So you can see why people avoid them.
Yeah,
if
I don't go, I don't find out what's wrong.
Right, exactly.
Easy.
I'm good.
Everything's fine until I confirm something's wrong.
Until I drop over, but it takes some work to. But my point when you said that, it's a big deal that you actually showed up. You're there.
Oh,
it's
important. Thank you. It was scary.
Well, anyway,
everything's broken.
I don't know. I'm always behind because I get to play.
You're fine. Me too.
Stuff. I'll get this stuff out.
And we'll let you know.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Yeah.
You'll see it show up. If you're, well, Dr. Guzman, I'll use that term. She is on the mailing list, so she'll tell you when it shows up.
Awesome.
Okay.
Well, thank you guys for being.
And if you ever want to get certified in the Matrix, come let us know.
Yeah, we'll really.
You're good to go.
Oh, you're good to go.
Right.
So. Yeah. Thank you. Okay.
See ya.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.